I originally noticed this story here. There's a Chinese property developer who said, if there were no Chinese, Australia couldn't survive. That's what he said. He's a Chinese property developer. He's been here for 27 years. His name is Chen Guo Jing. He's based in Melbourne. Now, a fellow named James Lawrenson has written a piece on this. Mr. Lawrenson and I had this conversation about 2 hours ago. See if you agree with Mr. Lawrenson. There is a deal of suspicion in this country about how Chinese investors and migrants are pushing up the price of homes and maybe taking over some of the farming communities in Australia. I have a story here, for example, that says a Chinese property developer who's lived in Australia for 27 years says the economy depends on migrants buying all the luxury housing and expensive cars. I don't quite understand the expensive cars bit, but we'll get to it. But this is what he says. If there were no Chinese, Australia couldn't survive. Well, it's pretty sweeping. So I want to talk to James Lawrenson. James is Deputy Director of Australia-China Relations Institute at UTS, and he's agreed to come on the program. Hi, James. Thanks for coming on the show.
It's my pleasure.
So you've written this piece now. It's back, the zombie idea that Chinese buyers are pushing up Aussie house prices. Zombie idea? What do you mean?
Well, you can't kill it, Mike. It's an idea that keeps coming back. Last week, we had a new report by Credit Suisse that came out with some big numbers on the value of properties that Chinese immigrants and investors living in China are buying. The problem is, when you match that up against some other sources of data, the Chinese buying spree doesn't look nearly so scary.
Okay, so the actual stat given here, and you use it in your piece, is in 2013-14, Chinese buyers bought property worth 23% and 20% of new housing supply in New South Wales and Victoria. Now, a parliamentary inquiry, quoting once again from your piece, into the effects of foreign investment in residential real estate last year, put it this way, rather than causing price pressures, the evidence suggests that foreign investments may actually help keep prices lower by increasing supply. Does that add up?
Yeah, so this is the key thing, Mike. We've got to distinguish between Chinese buyers of new houses and existing houses. So if we're talking about new houses, we're talking about houses that haven't previously existed. So they're adding to supply. Now, we all know that increasing supply puts downward pressure on the price. I mean, that's exactly what's happening to iron ore at the moment. There's been big investment over the last few years that's boosted supply, and now the prices are falling. So if we can increase housing supply, that actually slows price growth. It doesn't add to it.
Isn't the real issue, though, real estate in this country?
Well, it's the same principle, though. If we invest in real estate, in other words, when we say invest in real estate, all we're talking about there is building more new homes. So in this country, we have foreign investment rules that actually welcome foreign investment in new housing, not existing housing, new housing. And the idea there is very simple. Building new houses costs money. So if we add foreign money to domestic money, more houses will get built. That increases supply. That puts downward pressure on prices.
Now, what I mean by introducing the real estate angle here is that most of the investment, as near as I can tell, except for one area that I know about personally, where a lot of farmers in Queensland were very suspicious when approached to sell their farms, that their farms might go to Chinese investors. They apparently just didn't like that idea. But most of the pressures in this country are in the big conurbs, are they not? Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne. That's where the investment, that's where the migrants are going, right?
Indeed, and it's not even just those cities, Mike. It's actually specific places in those cities. So, for example, we know that most foreign investment in real estate is going into inner city apartments. So this is not even, certainly not a New South Wales issue. It's not even really a Sydney issue. It's just in specific areas in the city. But again, as long as we're talking about new apartments, these are houses that previously didn't exist. So it's an increase in supply issue, downward pressure on prices.
So our program's going to Queensland tonight as well. What about Brisbane? Is it similar there?
The numbers suggest that the percentages of overseas buyers in Sydney, in Brisbane, are much smaller than in Sydney or Melbourne. So for example, National Australia Bank do a very useful residential property survey, and they say that in Sydney and Victoria, the proportion of foreign buyers for existing housing is about 1 in 10. So 9 out of 10 buyers of existing housing are Australian. In Brisbane, that proportion is even higher, so greater than 90%.
But just clear this up for me. You are arguing that this added investment increases supply. My comment about real estate is there's only so much of it, and it's very tightly controlled in the big cities here. You appear to add to that by saying most of the investment we're talking about is in the inner city. Most of the cost is, in fact, the real estate, is it not? And we're not getting any more of that because we have Chinese investors putting their money into inner city apartments.
Yeah, well, Mike, I'd say the reason we're not getting any more of it is not because of Chinese investors or even domestic investors. It's because of governments and their planning rules.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And that's exactly the path that I'm heading down, that it is tightly controlled, I think way too tightly controlled, artificially maintained, all of those kind of things. But nevertheless, the point remains that that's the reality that we have to live with. So those Chinese investors are not causing more real estate opportunities where houses could be built.
Well, I think we are seeing some movements when it comes to government on the supply angle. So, for example, we're getting rezoning issues where bigger apartment buildings are being built where there were lower density properties before. So if these Chinese and the nine out of 10 Australians that are funding these new high density apartments, that's still adding supply. So I think I take your point that there's some other issues and that the limited land release is an issue, but I still think the basic principle is that if you have more investment in the sector, then that increases supply.
Okay, this seems to me to be a little off the track, but the original story that caught my attention, maybe yours, is this fellow Chen Guojing, property developer based in Melbourne. He said the Chinese are buying all the luxury housing and the expensive cars. We don't make expensive cars.
No, so that's certainly not going to hit our production numbers. I'm not sure of the context that that person made that quote in. But the numbers that I've been reading, certainly the National Australia Bank's residential property survey doesn't match up to that at all. So I think in this country we spend a lot of time talking about the extremes, but the reality is a lot more benign than that. So I'd disagree with that comment.
Okay, so what about these stats, though? This is according to the English report here in the Daily Mail. In April, it emerged China has become Australia's biggest source of approved foreign investment for the first time. It came after a $12.4 billion influx on real estate in the last fiscal year. For the first time, Chinese investors who planned to spend $27.7 billion overtook the US, who were approved to spend $17.5 billion. So if those figures are accurate, they're well up there when it comes to investing.
Yeah, so two comments there. The first thing is this is a relatively new phenomenon, okay? So this is the first time that Chinese approved investment has actually been greater than the US share. Mm. So if you look at the stock of foreign investment in Australia, the US share is about 26%, the Chinese share is about 3%. So there's some part of this that's just simply catching up. The second comment is even if Chinese investment is growing, it's still only one country amongst more than 150 countries in the world. So for example, in the real estate sector, which has been getting all the attention, Chinese investment, according to the Foreign Investment Review Board last year, accounted for 16% of total foreign investment in the real estate sector. So yes, they are the largest single country, but there's a lot of countries out there. And so that means that most foreign investment is not, in fact, coming from China.
So, James, just for takeaway on this discussion that you and I were having, the Chinese property developer who said if there were no Chinese, Australia couldn't survive, that's a bit of hyperbole, isn't it? What do you think?
That's bluster.
Bluster, all right, that's bluster.
There's no factual basis for that statement.
And your own statement, the zombie idea, it's one that can't be killed, but you think doesn't have validity. Is that right?
Correct. That's right.
All righty. Thank you, James. Appreciate your time and comments.
Okay, thanks for that, Mike.
James Lawrenson is Deputy Director, Australia-China Relations Institute at UTS.